We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, again, we approach your throne of grace holding out empty hands and pleading with you to fill them with food for our souls. And we pray that you open the meaning of Scripture to us as only you can do, reveal the treasures which are hidden in it to us, and strengthen our faith in our Savior as we wait for him to come again. We pray this in his name. Amen. Luke 22, verses 31 to 34, the cock crew. And Luke will be discussing this happening in a few verses in the future if Christ doesn't come first. So we will give a few key thoughts at this point. The 12 disciples of Jesus were not all cut from the same cloth. Each one has his own gifts and characteristics. For example, Philip had kind of a computer mind, and he was always figuring things out, looking ahead before things actually happened. During the account of the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus asked Philip where they should buy bread in order to feed everyone. And Jesus knew the answer to that question, but he was testing Philip. And Philip was already calculating this. He replied, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. So he had this thing all figured out already. The disciple John could be called the silent disciple. He was a deep thinker, had a strong faith, but he seldom said much. Peter, on the other hand, was just the opposite. He could be called the mouthpiece of the disciples. He always had something to say. Sometimes what he said was very good. Other times what he had to say was very bad. And he should have been aware of the ancient proverb, when one does not know what to say, that is the time for one to remain silent. But Peter seldom remained silent. And that's why he was identified by a little girl at the trial of Jesus. When you've got a big mouth, you've been identified. And that was Peter. But Peter was also a man of action. And when the disciples went with Jesus into the Garden of Gethsemane, two of them had taken swords with them. We don't know who one of them was, but we know who the other was. It was Peter. And when the mob came out to capture Jesus, Peter swung into action, took his sword and took a swipe at the head of the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. It was an act of almost unbelievable courage. And more than once, Peter rebuked Jesus, thinking he knew better than the Son of God did. One time, Jesus even called Peter Satan. Little did Peter realize it, but he was about to be a special target of Satan on this very night. Jesus warned him. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Notice the double shot. Simon, Simon. Whenever the Lord says something twice, whenever the Holy Spirit records something twice, that means it's a double shot, because what God says is going to happen, and is going to happen very, very shortly. And that's the warning for Peter. The word behold is another indication that a blockbuster event is about to unfold. And what is it? Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Little did Peter realize what was about to unfold this very night. Not only against Jesus, but also against him. And Luke will go into more detail on this in future verses, and we will go through them if the Lord doesn't come back first and if it's God's will. But for now, let's think of a few words of the fisherman for our warning. And the first one we're going to look at is from Peter's first epistle, chapter 4, verse 7. And he wrote this, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." In chapter 5 of the same letter, same epistle, chapter 5, verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Now these are the words of the Holy Spirit. And being that that's true, they're extremely important for us. But the instrument that the Holy Spirit used to write these words was Peter. And then therefore these words take on an added significance. When Peter warns us about the devil walking about like a roaring lion, he knows what he's talking about. It happened to him. And this night, the same night that Jesus was betrayed, the devil attacked Peter like a roaring lion, and Peter never forgot it. So when he talks about the devil like a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour, he's talking from personal experience. And therefore his words should have double importance for us. Peter was by trade a commercial fisherman. He was not a poet. He was not a writer. But he did write two small, short epistles before he died for us, out of love for us, and warnings and instructions for us. And that was an act of love on Peter's part. These might have been the only two epistles or letters that he wrote in his whole life. He was not a writer. He fished. So these words, we should pay really close attention to them. First of all, because they were by the Holy Spirit, but secondly, also, they were written by Peter, who knew what he was talking about. Jesus continues. I'm going to read the first verse, 31 again, and then 32. "The Lord said unto Peter, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Jesus Christ is about to suffer down in hell for the 3 hours of darkness on the cross. He's about to offer himself up as the Passover lamb. And yet he's thinking of his own disciple, Peter, giving him a warning and also an encouragement. "I have prayed for thee." But I have prayed for thee. The Son of God is the only person who fulfilled all the offices in Scripture: a prophet, a priest, and a king. And Christ was all three. Nobody else in Scripture ever was, but he was. He's a prophet, spoke the word of God to us. He's a king, he's ruling over everything. But in the middle, he's a high priest. And the duty of the high priest is to protect and feed his people. And that's what we see Jesus doing. This wasn't only to Peter. The warning that Peter gives was given to us. And the warnings that Jesus gave to Peter were also given to us. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And that is happening day by day by day by day, as the earth as we know it is approaching its final destruction. So these warnings are not only to the disciples, they're to all of God's saints, every single one of us. We should be aware that our soul is in danger every single day. And that's why Jesus says, have no thought for tomorrow. Sufficient unto the day is the operating thereof. The warning is for today. Today is the day that our soul is in danger, not tomorrow. Today. Today is the day that we have to be strong. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And there's a spiritual world out there. And there's good angels that God has given us for our protection, but there are also wicked angels that Satan uses, and he himself as a roaring lion is walking about. And who does he try to devour? Not the ones that are his already. He's got them. He's after the bride of Christ. He tried to destroy the bridegroom by killing him, but that plan didn't work because the bridegroom rose from the dead. So now the attack is against the bride. And it's vicious. This is the last chance that Satan has to stop the wedding from taking place. A wedding that was planned back in eternity past. And it'll be consummated on the day that Jesus Christ comes back and the wedding bells will ring. Satan's trying to stop it. So the attack now is against the bride. But the high priest is praying for us. And in a way, we're living in very dangerous times. We're living in times that are so dangerous that if it were possible, the very elect would be lost. That's the bad news. The good news is we're not going to be lost because we were chosen by God as a very small remnant before the foundation of the world. And if it were possible, the very elect would be lost, but it's not possible. One of the reasons is because Jesus Christ is praying for us. He's the great high priest, and he's praying for us. He's praying to the Father. And the Father loves the Son. And when the Son prays to the Father's going to answer. So when the Son prays for his bride, that the Heavenly Father would keep us from the wicked one, who as a roaring lion is walking about, the Father answers that prayer. We've got that going for us. We've got something else going for us. The Holy Spirit is constantly praying for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. That's every minute, every second of every day and every night. And that has been true during our whole life. We very seldom think about it. But we've got that going for us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit going for us. So we don't have to be afraid, but at the same time, we take the warnings very seriously. I have prayed for thee. That's precious. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Matthew talked about this in chapter 24, verse 24. We've read this so often. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So the attack comes not from China, not from Russia. It comes from within the visible church. We've looked at that before, the Trojan horse sort of thing. Satan attacks from among us. Hypocrites, false prophets. And these are another sign of the last times, and it's always been that way, but it's worse and worse and worse as we come to the end of time, as this world knows it. Mark, same warning, false Christs and false prophets shall arise and show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But it's not possible. Song of Songs, perhaps, undoubtedly, the most comforting book in all Holy Writ. It's a love poem between Christ and his bride, the church. And a scene unfolds in the last chapter of that book. Chapter 8, verse 5 reads this way, a question. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? Who is that? And the picture is this, that somebody is floating around outside the universe, or looking down at the world from outer space, and they see that there's a great and terrible wilderness in the world. And hundreds of thousands of people walk into that wilderness, that great and terrible wilderness. And in fact, everyone that's born into the world walks into that great and terrible wilderness. And you see that happening from the outside, and you look at that. And nobody comes out except two people. Of all the hundreds of thousands of people that walk into this great and terrible wilderness, nobody comes out except two. And who are they? Question, who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? So one of the two is the bride, and the other one is Jesus Christ. They are the only two that come out of this mess because of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We've got a lot going for us, and we're living in exciting days, because Christ is going to come back very, very quickly. All the signs of the time have taken place, and it's coming close. So anyway, Jesus gives Peter this warning, but also the comfort, I have prayed for thee. And instead of Peter thanking God, getting on his knees and thanking God for he's going to see him through this trial, Peter says, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. We really could call this arrogance. It's pure arrogance is what it is. You don't know what you're talking about, Peter says. I'm not under attack, and if I am, I'll stand strong. I have a faith in you that cannot be shaken. I'm ready to go with you, and I'm ready to die for you. I'll go with you if they throw you into prison. I'll be in the cell with you. And if they kill you, I'll be in the tomb with you. I'm ready for that. That's what he said. Little did he realize that this was all going to unfold within a matter of minutes. And Peter answered. He said, I tell thee, Peter, now he calls him Peter, before it was Simon, personal. I tell thee, Peter means rock, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Not once, not twice, but three times. Three times. One of the other writers mentions, the cock shall not crow twice before thou deny me. The cock shall not crow before thou deny me twice. The cock shall not crow twice. And some people, I don't know if this is true or if it isn't, some people believe that the cock crew at the end of the first day and then right before morning of the next day. So it was two times. I don't know if that's true or not. It might be. But it's an odd sound. Once you've heard it, you never forget it. And if you've ever heard it, you for sure you're never going to forget it. And it seems simultaneous. I don't know if it's ever done. I heard one time they had a contest to see who could tell the rooster to crow and it would do it. I don't know if that's true or not. I would doubt it. But it seems to be spontaneous. You never know when it's going to happen. And when it does, you'll never forget it. It's an odd, odd sound. And when Peter heard it, he went out and wept bitterly. He wept bitterly. And those were tears of repentance. So the ending came on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus had told his disciples, after I'm crucified, I'm going to rise from the dead and go up to Galilee. I'll meet you up there. So one by one, they started making their way up to Galilee, and seven of them were up there waiting yet for Christ to come and the other disciples. And Peter had the bright idea, let's go fishing, which is not bad. So they said, I'm going fishing. They said, we'll go with you. So they went out. And they fished all night in the best places, and they didn't get anything. And then they saw somebody walking along the seashore. And he cried out and said, have you taken anything? And they said, no. And basically he said, you're fishing on the wrong side of the boat. Throw the net on the other side, and you'll catch something. And they did, and it happened. 153 great fish. 153 is the number of God's elect in Scripture. Mm-hmm. And there were no minnows. When he fed the 5,000, he had five loaves of bread and two small fish. But this time there were no small fish. They were all great ones. Every saint is a great saint. There's no difference between one or the other. And Peter realized, this is the Lord. So he jumped into the water and started to swim ashore. The others got there before he did. But he was rash. He wanted to get there as fast as he could. And they found out it was Jesus. And he had a meal out there on the coals. And Peter, who had sat by the fire during the trial of Jesus to warm himself, sat there with the children of the devil. Now he's sitting at a fire prepared for him by the Lord, and a meal there. And three times, as embarrassing as it was, Jesus asked him, "Simon, lovest thou me more than these?" And he answered it this way, "Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." And Jesus answered him the second time. Peter gave the same answer. And he answered him the third time. And Peter gave the same answer the third time. So he erased the three times that he denied Jesus. Jesus gave him that choice and he took it. So the warning goes to us, and that's what I'd like to end it on this morning. Remembering a couple things. Number one, the warnings that we find in Scripture are given for us. This is our book. It's not the book of the devil and his wicked ones. And so when you read these warnings, the arrow is aimed at your heart and mine, not the other guy's heart. These warnings are for each one of us. And we'd better be prepared to take them very seriously. The blessed truth is, yeah, I know I can't be lost, because it's impossible that one of God's elect will be lost, and he's chosen me as one of his elect. God, I'm so thankful for that. But I still take the warnings seriously. And the warning is fulfilled for us when we meditate upon the Word of God every night and every day. It's a daily thing. If we really believe this, we're going to be in the Word every day. The warnings. This is our book. But we've mentioned over and over and over again that the timing in Scripture is always so important. And let's look at the timing of how this thing unfolded for Peter. Peter was one of the 12 disciples that celebrated the final Jewish Passover in Jerusalem that night. And Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus and left the group and walked out into the darkness of night. So Peter was left now as one of the 11 disciples, and Jesus, when he left the upper room, the 11 went with him, and they went out into Gethsemane. Peter was one of them. We find out from Scripture that we'll get into that next week if Christ doesn't come back and it's God's will. When the 11 walked out with Jesus into the darkness of Gethsemane, two of the 11 had a sword. And we don't know who one of them was, but we know who the other one was. Peter was one of them that had a sword. And when Judas led the motley crowd of heavily armed soldiers out into the darkness of Gethsemane to betray Christ, this was a scary sign. They had swords and spears and lanterns. Some of these undoubtedly were Roman soldiers. It was a scary sight. Peter took a sword and went out to meet him, meet all of them, and took a swipe at the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. Peter did that. Peter was brave. He was courageous. He was willing to die. That was then. A few minutes. Who knows? It couldn't have been much more than an hour, if that. The same man who took on the whole army single-handedly with a sword cringed when a little maiden walked up to the fire and said, "This man was one of them." Where was the courage? It was gone. It had left. Now he's afraid, scared to death at the words of a little girl. It happened so quickly. It wasn't a matter of a couple years later. It was minutes. Minutes. It can happen. It can happen to us too. We who can feel so strong one minute can be trembling in fear the next. So that's why we rely on Christ and not anything that we can do or the strength that we think we have. That's the lesson. That's the real lesson. And remember, this is the one who lived through this, who tells us, "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour."